I think I'll always remember my wish 10, 20, 30 years down the line, and I think I'll always tell people about it. I mean, pretty much everyone in my life now knows that I'm a Make-A-Wish kid. It used to be something I was like, I need to keep this secretive. Like, I don't want people to think there's something wrong with me. But now I'm like proud to tell people. I think my story is inspiring now. And I think what Make-A-Wish did for me is amazing. And I think in 10 years that one day when I have kids or children of my own, I'll tell them the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. This is what I got to do. I'll show them the pictures. And I just think that it's something unique. It's not something everyone gets the opportunity to have. So I'll always talk about it.
Welcome to The World of Wishes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, resilience, and the incredible impact of Make-A-Wish in Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, and today we have a special episode coming your way. We chat with Courtney Priede, a Make-A-Wish alum whose journey from chronic illness to a life-changing adventure will leave you inspired. Diagnosed with ulcerative colitis at just 12 years old, Courtney endured years of hospital stays, surgeries, and emotional challenges during some of the most formative years of her life. But through it all, she held on to hope, and when her doctor referred her to Make-A-Wish, Courtney dared to dream big. She shares how she wished for an unforgettable family trip to Australia, where she swam the Great Barrier Reef, explored the outback, and rediscovered joy with her loved ones. Now more than a decade later, she reflects on the lasting impact of that experience, the strength it gave her, and why she continues to give back as a passionate ambassador for Make-A-Wish. This is a story of resilience and the impact of a wish fulfilled. This episode is From Hospital Halls to the Great Barrier Reef, Courtney Priede's Make-A-Wish Journey. Welcome, Courtney.
Hi, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
There's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, including your really cool wish. And probably for all of the episodes that we've done of this podcast, you went the furthest for your wish. So I want to talk about that, but we want to back up a little bit to how you chose your wish or what led up to it. I know that, you know, obviously you had some medical issues and that medical journey part of it. So tell us a little bit about that part of it, because it helps us to frame, you know, your entire Make-A-Wish experience.
Sure. So in 2012, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. So ulcerative colitis is a chronic illness. So it's something that stays with you for your entire life, basically. And so I spent a lot of years in and out of the hospital, and essentially they couldn't get my symptoms managed. So I had to get surgery to remove my entire large intestine, so the entire colon. And so after that, I had a colostomy bag for a while, which was incredibly hard for like somebody in middle school to have. I pretty much missed all my middle school years after it. And then I got another surgery, which they call J-pouch, and they basically reattach your small intestine to your ileum so then you don't have to have a colostomy bag anymore. And after that, my symptoms were pretty much under remission, thankfully, because it was like such a difficult time, as you can imagine, like being 12, 13, 14, 15, dealing with this, like at a pivotal time, like growing up in life, like middle school, even the start of high school. So thankfully though, since 2015, I've been in remission.
How was it? What was it like at that time with your family dealing with it and everything and just the kind of the mental side of it, of you going through all of these different surgeries and all of the different medical challenge that you had?
Yeah, I think it was super hard, of course. My parents both worked full-time. I have two little brothers, so they were at home too. And basically, like, I was living in the All Children's Hospital in Tampa at that time because my symptoms were so bad. So my mom was there most of the time with me, and my dad was at home with my brothers. But it was incredibly difficult, I think, even for me mentally, like, being that young, not understanding, like, why did this have to happen to me kind of thing? Like, it's so unfair. And just, like, not really, like, understanding, because my mom also has ulcerative colitis, and she never had symptoms as bad. So for me, it was just so hard to grasp the concept of why this happened to me and like not her, even though I would never want that to happen to her. Mm-hmm. But as a child, it was really hard to understand.
Yeah. Do you feel like some of your teenage years were taken away because of everything you had to deal with?
For sure. Like even starting high school, like my freshman year, I had a PIC line, which is like an IV that runs basically to one of your arteries in your heart.
Yeah.
And so you're a freshman in high school and you're coming in with this PIC line, and it's like embarrassing, but it's not really embarrassing because this is like saving my life. But for me back then, I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. People are going to think I'm so weird kind of thing. But thankfully that did save my life. So it helps.
Were you aware of Make-A-Wish coming into your life, or that you were being referred for a wish, or how did the Make-A-Wish part of your of the experience start?
So my doctor, his name is Dr. Weir Soria, he actually referred my story to Make-A-Wish, and I didn't know that he was going to do that. And honestly, because I had a chronic illness, I didn't think I would qualify for a wish. I didn't realize like it could be a chronic, terminal, anything like that. So it was a complete surprise to me. We had a lunch and Make-A-Wish was there. And that was the start of the conversation. And I didn't know where it was going to lead to, but it led to my trip and my wish. So I'm so thankful it happened.
Do you remember back at the time, because you touched on it about not knowing what Make-A-Wish was, you know, the population that we mm-hmm. serve, or the kind of kids. And was there any uncertainty there in your mind? You could tell us that if there was some uncertainty there, like, what does this mean that I qualify for a wish, or, you know, and until you really found out that, you know, what we're all about.
Yeah, I think there was some uncertainty because, like I said, I didn't know it could be for somebody with a chronic illness. So I think in my mind at first, I was like, does this mean like I'm going to pass away someday, like soon, right. like what does it mean for me? Because I really didn't know the entire like scope of the organization and everything they do for different like types of illnesses. Mm-hmm. So I think I was a little nervous at first because I didn't fully understand, but I also was like 14, 15 at the time. So then I realized like this organization does more than just help kids with terminal illnesses.
Yeah. And so so volunteers come into your life, mm-hmm. Make-A-Wish volunteers, and say, you know, you're going to get a wish. So think big. It's anything that you want. I know what your eventual wish was, but I know that there were a couple of wishes that were under consideration. Yes. Could talk about that process.
So I, growing up, was a huge One Direction fan. And like before getting diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, I always listened to their music. I went to their concerts, everything. So I love them so much. And even during my time in the hospital, like I would just watch their music videos over and over again. So when Make-A-Wish reached out to me, my original idea was, oh, I want to meet Harry Styles from One Direction.
Right.
But then they were like, oh, it's going to be like a one day meet and greet kind of thing, like, which is still good. But then I was like, you know what? I can think bigger, because I went on the Make-A-Wish website then and saw other kids' wishes. And I'm like, wow, there's like, you can really choose like almost anything you ever dreamed of doing. So I was mm-hmm. like, let me think bigger, because I've already seen them in concert. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you thought bigger.
Yes.
And
I did.
You thought huge. And so I'm not going to give away the secret. So what was your wish eventually?
So my wish was to go to Australia and swim in the Great Barrier Reef. And it was fabulous. Like, I still talk about it 10 years later. It was so amazing.
I said before that we've done a lot of episodes of this podcast, and we've had wishes, you know, wish kids, adults, mm-hmm. parents talk about their kids' wishes, and none of them have been as far as Australia.
Oh, wow.
So but tell us what that whole experience was like. How long were you there? What was the airplane ride like?
Yeah.
You know, all of the things.
So when we got to go to Australia, my whole family went, so my parents and my brothers, Make-A-Wish actually sent a limousine to our house to pick us up, to take us to the airport, which was amazing. Like, I didn't realize there's so many other layers that go into the wish. I just thought like, oh, we're gonna go to the airport and go.
Mm-hmm.
So they picked us up in the limousine. The flight was so long, like, because I grew up in Sarasota, so we flew out of Tampa, so we had to stop in Houston first and then go to Australia. So I think it was like a 16-hour flight after wow. stopping in Houston, which yeah. was already 2 hours, so it was like a full 24 hours of travel. And then when we got there, we flew into Cairns, I believe you pronounce it, which is where the Great Barrier Reef is, like on the outskirts of it. So that was our first stop, and we stayed there, I think, for 3 days, and that's when we swam in the Great Barrier Reef. We took a boat out there. It was like a charter boat, and it was amazing. I still have the pictures. My dad had a digital camera for underwater, and so those pictures are like hanging in my office at work, and like in my parents' house, we have the pictures of us swimming there. So that was fabulous. And then we went to the outback, which was in Uluru,
okay.
Which is Australian desert. And we got to stay in like a little yurt, and we got to see this huge rock, which is like the oldest rock in the world, I think it is. And they had like a bunch of different like historic things out there that happened. So it was super cool to learn about. We also met super cool people out there that like we're still friends with on social media today.
Wow.
10 years later. Yeah.
Great.
And then we ended the trip in Sydney, which we got to see the Sydney Opera House. And it was just the perfect ending to the trip, because we got to relax and just go out to dinner, explore the city.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And then we came home.
Which was having, obviously having your family there was a big component of it. So, you know, so your family is when kids and teenagers are going through these medical challenges, it's hard on everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you thought it at the time or you can reflect on it now. Having your family there to enjoy this part of it must have been something that's really neat.
Oh, for sure. Because I think not only did having ulcerative colitis and that like 4-year period of my life affect me, but it also deeply affected them, like my parents, my brothers, not knowing what was going to happen with like my condition and my symptoms. So I think just being able to experience that with my family and have that as a time for all of us to like just be a normal family again, go on a normal family vacation, just have fun, forget about kind of like what happened. It was amazing. And I think like that's something I'll never take for granted for. And I'm so glad I did that with my family instead of just meeting Harry Styles by myself.
Mm-hmm. And you went through the highlights of your experience. What were some of the maybe more underrated moments, like moments that you wouldn't put at the top of your list, but you still remember fondly as maybe it was one of the dinners, maybe it was a breakfast, maybe it was just something that either you saw your parents or your brothers that, you know, that just gave, that just filled your heart with, you know, with joy or whatever the emotion is.
Yeah, I think one of the best moments for me was we went to this farm and it had like different kind of Australian animals, like native to Australia. And there was kangaroos and koala bears and all that stuff. And like my brother, he really like loved kangaroos and was so excited. So I think just being able to see that and like have it benefit him too, and like see him be able to like interact, and like both my brothers were younger at the time, like they're my younger brothers. So just being able to have them there and interact and like be happy and like be together, and like just us as a family, like me and my siblings especially, like just have a normal sibling relationship again, out having fun, I think was a great moment and I'll never forget it. Like even looking at the pictures, like when I look at those pictures, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy that happened. I'm so happy they were able to be there with me.
We're here with Courtney Piede. She went to Australia in 2015. We're talking about the experience of a lifetime. How often do you look at the pictures?
Probably like once a week. I mean, I have them hanging in my office at work, so I see them daily there. But even still, my Instagram, I have the pictures up. My parents have pictures hanging in their house whenever I visit them. So I'm just constantly reminded of that experience. And it was just a great experience. So it's a happy memory anytime I see those pictures.
Do you guys talk about it often?
Oh, for sure. We always talk about it, I think. And like I mentioned, like we met some people out there. My mom's a teacher. So in Australia, they have a program where they'll pay you to come teach out there. So we met this couple out there and they were talking to my parents about it. And so even we're still friends on Facebook to this day. So I'll see their stuff and I'm reminded of like the time out there and like the people out there that we met. So
How has that experience either shaped or impacted your life?
I think that it gave me a new perspective on life completely. It turned like a super negative time in my life into a positive. So now when I reflect back on my time with ulcerative colitis, I also think about my Make-A-Wish trip and how amazing it was. And I'm able to tell people, well, you know, I went through this really hard thing, but at the end of the day, I got granted a wish by Make-A-Wish and it completely changed my perspective that even though I went through something so hard, something good still came out of it at the end.
What would you say to, you know, the teenage version of yourself or maybe teenagers that are in your position that that have a chance to have a wish and, you know, they can wish to meet somebody or they can wish to go somewhere, and what you've have the experience there. So
yeah.
What advice would you give them?
I would give them the advice of take advantage of your wish if it does happen, because even I at 15, I thought, am I too old for this kind of thing? Like I thought this was something little kids got too. So I would say take the advantage of the wish if you're given the opportunity that it can change your life. Like you might think maybe, oh, this is embarrassing. Like people are going to know I have a sickness or an illness and they're going to see I had a wish granted by Make-A-Wish. Because that's something I went through too. People thought, oh, I thought you had to die to like get a Make-A-Wish, you know, the stigma around it. But I would say just take the chance, do it and enjoy it, because it'll be a memory that will last a lifetime for you.
Obviously, a lot of people that listen to this podcast are supporters of Make-A-Wish. They're donors. They're people that fund wishes, adopt wishes. Maybe they volunteer on them. Their company support. What would you say to them that the people that maybe not know of a Wish Kid or may not have a personal experience, but they just know that this is a good thing that we're doing for kids. What would you say to them?
I would say, I think this is the obvious answer, but you changed my life. You changed my family's life. It's amazing that you continue to change other kids' lives. I think for me, I had this dream about going to Australia, but I didn't know if it would ever happen. And laying in that hospital bed, you think, oh my gosh, like I'm never going to be able to do anything again, potentially. So I'm just so grateful for them and that they gave me the opportunity and they continue to turn like dreams into reality for other kids.
Yeah. What do you think you remember about your experience 10 years from now? I mean, you're 10 years post-Wish, and then, you know, sometimes memories fade, but these impactful moments of people's lives tend to not.
Yeah. I think I'll always remember my Wish 10, 20, 30 years down the line, and I think I'll always tell people about it. I mean, pretty much everyone in my life now knows that I'm a Make-A-Wish kid. It used to be something I was like, I need to keep this secretive. Like, I don't want people to think there's something wrong with me. But now I'm, like, proud to tell people. I think my story is inspiring now. And I think what Make-A-Wish did for me is amazing. And I think in 10 years that one day when I have kids or children of my own, I'll tell them the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. This is what I got to do. I'll show them the pictures. And I just think that it's something unique. It's not something everyone gets the opportunity to have. So I'll always talk about it.
How's your health currently?
It's good. There's been some up and downs, but nothing as bad as like those 4 years of my life before I got the Wish. So it's good though. Definitely doing a lot better.
So tell us about the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, most people that are listening to this have not visited that. They only hear about it or see it in pictures or videos. But you got to experience it up close. So
yes.
What was that like?
It was amazing. I did not realize how big the Great Barrier Reef is. Like, I think it goes like miles and miles. So I initially thought like, oh, it's just like a little patch of the ocean kind of thing. But we got there and it was just amazing. Like, there's turtles, there's different sea life, and you can just see the coral. And unfortunately, a lot of the coral is starting to die because of like the environmental issues. So I'm grateful I got to see it when I did, because now 10 years later, I can't imagine, because back when I was there, it was starting to die a little, but it was just so vast and beautiful. And even when you're flying into Australia from the plane, you can see like the coral and stuff like that. So seeing it from the plane and then actually being in it was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, so the water is crystal clear.
Yes.
So you can see it from a plane and all of that. So did you snorkel? Did you scuba?
We snorkeled and we had to wear wetsuits because the water is actually freezing cold in Australia there. So we all had to wear wetsuits. So being from Florida, I was like not used to that at all. So it was a little scary at first to get in the water, but you just snorkel. You don't have to wear a life vest or anything. It's pretty safe and they section off an area for you to go in. So you just swim around in that area and then you can come back to the boat whenever.
Yeah, cool. So you have post your Wish, and then, you know, we're in your post Wish life. You've decided to give back to us, and you've spoken at events. You're here today.
Yeah.
Why is that part of it important to you?
I think it's important just because prior to getting my Wish, I didn't realize how much Make-A-Wish does. So then getting my Wish, I realized, wow, this is amazing. What they did for me is amazing. What they do for other kids is amazing. So I just want to give back and be able to spread that message and be able to like break the stigma around it, that having a Wish means something's wrong with you, or people are scared to talk about it because it's embarrassing, or they feel like I'm not worthy of this Wish. And I want people to know, like, if you have the opportunity to get a Wish, do it. It will change your life. And you deserve it. If you have a Wish granted to you, you're in a position that you deserve it, I feel like. So I want other people to know that, and also just spread awareness. I think that the people that donate to Make-A-Wish, they do such an amazing thing. And to get that message out there to anyone, I think is just so important to me.
We ask the question sometimes in interviews to describe Make-A-Wish in one word or two words or three words. And what would that word or those words be for you?
The word that comes to mind is inspiring. I know I've said that word like 1,000 times, but really, okay. I think it's just inspiring. I think that it inspires children, family, anyone, donors to contribute. And I think, yeah, it's just inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are inspired by you and we love hearing your story. And thank you for being an ambassador for us and continuing in your post-Wish life, you know, contributing for us and giving back to us. And we're looking for a lot of years that we can do that together. And
yes.
And thank you for being here, and thank you for all those contributions and for everything you do for Make-A-Wish.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Courtney, and thank you for listening to the special episode of World of Wishes, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can make wishes like Courtney's come true, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, and tell some friends. You can also listen to our archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org.